making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're taking up our study of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where we read there, "Be anxious for nothing, but by everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, what a beautiful text. One of the most comforting passages that could be given to the Christian. And it's interesting where Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, when these things were given to us, where this is placed in the book. Right at the very end, where Paul had dealt with a struggling church, struggling to understand what it meant in light of their sufferings that they belong to Jesus Christ in life and in death. And Paul's given him this wonderful perspective of the Christian life. Yesterday, we took up this discussion here, and what we have in light of this, when this call, be anxious for nothing, remember Jesus gave a whole discourse on this in Matthew chapter 6, this call, do not to worry about life or to worry about anything of this worldly life, but to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow, said Jesus, will worry about its own things. There, what Jesus was outlining is essentially what Paul is picking up here in Philippians chapter 4. And we designated this yesterday as what we often call an attack or a tyranny of your circumstances. A tyranny of circumstances. You know what these things are. There are certain things that happen to us that are absolutely beyond our control. You can't affect them. You can't change them. At least, of course, with some of the things that Christ spoke of here in Matthew chapter 6, when it came to don't worry about clothing or food or any of these sort of things, there's some direct involvement on our part by God's grace to affect the desires of my heart. By God's grace, of course, I can set myself to seek first Christ's kingdom and His righteousness and not the material things of this world. So my point is in some of these things you can actively affect circumstance, but Paul in Philippians chapter 4 is speaking of things that are totally beyond us. A tyranny of your circumstances. You know what these things are. You ask maybe an older widow who you know, could they control the fact that their husband got sick and died? Of course not. Totally beyond them. Can a wife or husband change their spouse's abusive or neglectful ways? Of course not. Can a parent who sees their child rebel against the Lord and reject the Christian faith or continue to make bad decision after bad decision really control the child's actions? No. Can one control the losing of a job? Can one really affect the bad things that happen to a loved one? Can one really change persecution? If we could go on and on down this list, is not the death of a child or a loved one completely outside of us? Is not even the money we make, and to what degree? Whether we're rich or poor, totally beyond us. Are not the problems we face in the church and when the devil disrupts marriages and the result of a warfare between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, when these things produce casualties, as the church bears the weight of these things, are not even these circumstances something completely outside of our wills? If we lost everything in a day as Job lost, can we really control this? All these things are totally beyond us and outside of us, and they are circumstances that you cannot affect or control as much as you would love to. And some people try, and they end up making matters worse. All of you today are in some way who are listening today feeling exactly what I'm speaking of. There's not a person out there who's not been faced with some tyranny of circumstance that is even going on right now, that is totally outside of your control, and that in some way has caused an attack upon you. Now, what happens when these things occur? Well, experience tells us what happens. Paul's going to say that the remedy in verse 7 is that God himself must do something in our hearts and in our minds. Guard us, he says, with this peace that surpasses all understanding. And so essentially what he's saying is that when these circumstances come, they are direct attacks upon our hearts and upon our minds. Isn't that something? It's out of our very heart that what springs? Joy. And when these circumstances come, the very first thing they do is draw our minds away from Jesus Christ, away from our joy, which again flows from an understanding of our position in Jesus Christ. And so these circumstances, completely beyond us, immediately tear down our understanding of the gospel. And in the very places where there should be joy, there comes into our hearts and into our minds an invader, which distracts our souls, tearing down our heavenly pursuit and this other life that the Bible and the Apostle Paul here has presented to us. This other life, this pursuit of the heavenly life, where our citizenship is in heaven, as he presented to us at the end of chapter 3. And what it does is these tyranny of our circumstances puts us right back into pursuit of this earthly life, which is motivated by doubt and fear. Now, you know the effects of this. Here, this circumstance that is and was outside of your control to begin with has now taken its home in your heart and in your minds so that you cannot control your heart and mind from thinking about this. It's totally consuming you. It is with you all the time, when you rise in the morning, even in your sleep. How often are people unable even to sleep over such things? The very things that Paul is describing here, be anxious for nothing. This anxiety destroys sleep. And something even worse occurs. We begin to ponder and meditate upon the what ifs. What if this happens? How will I go on? You see, these things have consumed us. Not only does this attack your joy, but it is a terrible sin before the Lord because, my friends, it displays a lack of trust in God's wisdom and providence that everything is under his control, even your circumstances. Jesus says the Christian is not to worry about these things because this sort of lack of trust is the very thing that marks the unsaved Gentiles. It is the very thing that marks unbelievers. See, you serve a God who is in absolute control of everything. And so the basic test of your Christianity, if you are a Christian today, is to recognize the Lord's utter sovereignty over even the tyranny of your circumstances that trouble your heart, that trouble your mind, and that tempt you to be consumed and wearied instead of trusting in your Christ, who has the ability to give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, what's Paul's remedy? Well, we might first say that the world is full of its remedies when it comes to dealing with anxieties. Everything today is labeled as a disorder. We have shelves full of medications that can somehow alter and numb all these anxieties that people face. One of the very common perspectives of psychology that is prevalent is to stop worrying about these things that are just outside of your control. Now, these sort of methods may have the appearance of wisdom, but really, is there comfort in them? I mean, are really pills and these sort of things really the way to solve problems, to numb them? You see, these things do not give a motivation. This is the point here. They don't give a motivation to press forward with the painful circumstance, to see that there is a greater purpose and glory to the whole thing. There is a greater purpose and design that we are trying to numb and not wanting to see that God is using to, as Paul said earlier, conform us to Christ's very death, that we might be sharers and partakers in his sufferings. So what is Paul's answer? Well, this is so wonderful, my friends. What are you facing, he says today? Be anxious for nothing. He gives you the solution to the problem. Listen to what he says. Do you have anxiety? Well, he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So the remedy is, don't have anxiety about anything, but pray about everything. Now, come on, Paul, isn't that a bit simplistic? I mean, we all know the struggle that we have with prayer, even when things aren't going well, but how much more difficult when things are not going well? I mean, we do pray when things are, right? But how difficult are things, and how difficult is it to pray when things are not going well? We stop, we begin to pray, we begin to pour out our hearts to God over the problem, over what we're facing, over the anxiety, and immediately the heart and the mind is again invaded by this circumstance. And we can't stay focused at all in our prayers. Yes, that's an easy thing to say, just pray. Is that what he's saying? You know what I'm speaking of. How many times have we gone, have we tried to go to the Lord in prayer about something? Our inward desire is to lay it before the Lord, but the very thing that is attacking the heart and that is attacking the mind is dragging down my prayer. In any part of our spirituality, maybe even of hearing the word, you're struggling to hear him, you're struggling to cry out to him because of this invasion upon the heart and upon the mind with the tyranny of the circumstance. And we are like a ship tossed to and fro. We have anxiety on the inside. We are like double-minded people. And the fact is that this anxiety seems to prevail over my desire to pray, as wrong as that is. Now, how is this remedied? Well, we're going to look at that the remainder of this week. How is this remedied? Paul says pray, but there is a remedy even through prayer. Prayer will fall to the ground if the remedy here and the way that Paul describes this as the Spirit designs prayer is not put into practice. And we're going to look at that today. He's going to say everything by prayer and supplication. There's an order to this. But the fact is, my friends, is that all anxieties in this life, all tyranny of circumstances can be handled in two ways. One, you can look to Jesus Christ and say, oh Lord, you are sovereign over this. You've designed my life that it might reflect your glory. How then might I show others Christ living in me? Or we can let it consume us to the point that we don't trust or look to Jesus Christ at all. In our sanctification, as we're growing in Christ, the Lord orders our lives so that through our very struggles and through the very things he sends to us in his kind providence, and that's really what it is. Providence is the things that he directs everything to the end, that he would be glorified and according to his will. Then whatever the circumstance is, I have to recognize that my life is to model and reflect Jesus Christ so that others would see how I'm handling the circumstance and desire to have what I have, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guarding my heart and my mind to his glory. Come learn more about this Jesus who saves sinners from their sins and pours out a power upon them for the life of joy and peace. Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 360-318-0429 is the number. LindenURC.com is the website. Have a wonderful day. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.